Our dear Heavenly Father, we stop at this moment to thank you for the beautiful blessings of this morning, even though it's cold and crisp, it's still a gorgeous morning. We just thank you for the privilege that we have to come to your house and to worship thee and to fellowship with other Christians. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful music that we've already heard. We thank you for this young life that has chosen to worship you and to play for you. And Lord, we just pray that your blessings upon our service this morning open our hearts that you hear, that we hear what you want us to hear. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you now to stand with us as we sing Victory in Jesus, hymn number 370.
Love me, Lord.
Join us in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glad to see you here this morning, and I'm so glad to see that family with those children. Some people may not understand that, but to me, when I see children in the sanctuary, it just warms my heart. I don't know how to explain it, but it makes me feel really, really good, and I appreciate you all being here today. Do we have any joys that we'd like to share today? Joys? What about concerns? Remember David? Yes, he's doing fairly well, he says, but he'll get there. We know that God will take care of him and bring him back here soon. Yes? Okay. Any other concerns? Let's bow our heads as we pray. Our Father, we so love you and we so thank you for allowing us to be here today to celebrate Sunday. We ask that you would guide and direct us in all that we do. We especially ask this morning for Jerry Bledsoe that you would touch him and heal him, Lord, if it be your will, and that you will comfort him and comfort his family. Lord, there's so much going on all over the world. The most recent in Sudan, people being killed. We have people from the United States that are trapped over there, Lord, and we just ask that you would reach down and try to bless the hearts of those who are fighting, Lord, that they could come to some agreement, that they could let all this go to the side and let peace return. We ask that you would guide and direct our church here, Lord, that we could be what you would have us to be for your community. That somehow, in some way, Lord, that we could be better servants for you as we live throughout our week here in Rockwood. We know there are those here, Lord, who have concerns that for whatever reason, Lord, they didn't bring them forward, and we all do that. But you know, the wonderful thing is, Lord, that we know that you already know what those are. But I would ask you to listen again today, hear those that are unspoken, and that you would guide and direct those, and that you would make things well for all those in need. And Lord, I ask that you would be with us as we pray the prayer, Lord, that you gave us, that is yours forever and ever. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand with us again as we sing Seek You First, hymn number 405.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. As and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Our ushers, come forward at this time for the offering.
At this time, Aaron is going to share a song with us.
Thank you. I want to welcome you to this time of worship on Sunday morning. This is the third Sunday of Easter, and we are thrilled that you have come to be with us today to worship. It is good to see you through the video and know that we are gathered here together. So let us pray together, then hear our scripture reading. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We ask that you would bless us this morning. Give us a strength today to worship you in fullness and completeness. And let us join in the conversation with Jesus and the apostles as they look at what has happened over the past 3 years. And as Jesus tries to give them one last full glimpse, understand of who he is and what he has proclaimed and what he wants them to proclaim. So let us hear Jesus' voice as we do this today in a way that honors and glorifies him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the scripture this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, and it's verse 45 through verse 49. So hear these words from Luke 24, 45 through 49. Then he, being Jesus, opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what the Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what we're doing this morning is we're joining in a middle of a conversation. Jesus has been on the road and he's opened himself up to them through the breaking of bread. He's come back and he's sent his apostles, disciples, and they have begun a conversation, and this is nearing the end of that conversation. And once again, even though he has told them of all that is going to happen, and they have seen his death, and they have seen his resurrection, and they have seen all that's happened in that, and they've witnessed it, and they have a picture of it now, have seen it, there still is in their hearts and souls a trouble of what's been going on. They've been troubled by the action. They've been troubled by his death. They are struggling with who he is, even at this moment. Just what we do. We struggle with Jesus. We don't know who he is for us. We don't know how to grapple with his being. We don't know how he interacts with us. And we may have 2,000 years of knowledge of death and resurrection, and yet within our soul, we still struggle with the actual death and resurrection of Jesus and to the implications of what it does for us and to us in our interaction with the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus has taken this one last attempt. We'll see it's an attempt. He's taken one last attempt to explain it to them again. So it says here, he opens the scripture to them. If you've been reading before this at all, even just close to verse 44, he says this in the scriptures, and he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He tries to take them back to the Old Testament, for which they know so well. And he tries to let them see him as being the fulfillment of the Messiah that must suffer, must die, and must be raised from the dead. See, he's trying to get them to take what they knew so well, the Old Testament as we know it, put it to the new view of things. And I know we won't say the New Testament, but for these dear folk, this is living testament. This isn't written, this isn't new. They don't have it in front of them as he's saying it. And while I know Luke has now written it down, he's not even here for the conversation. He's taking it from them as they are given him the information years after it's occurred, and they're still struggling what it meant then for him to die and rise again. So he's trying to work through that with them to get to the other side. So as it says in 45, he's opening their minds to the understanding of Scripture. For those of us who have been reading Scripture now for all of our lives and have seen it for these past 2,000 years come and go, our minds are supposed to be open, but there is that little Scripture that says, open our eyes so we can see and our ears so we can hear. And I talk about that a lot because I think our eyes are blinded and our ears are stopped up. We see physical things, but we can't see the spiritual parts of life that change us. So he's trying to open the Scriptures, let them see the very basic understanding of Christianity. This is, if we were teaching a class, it would be Christianity 101. They have lived with him for 3.5 years. They have watched his death. They have watched his resurrection. And he is still teaching Christianity 101. The pastor I grew up with would have said to these folk in his own way, not necessarily the way I would say it, but would have said to them, you're still drinking from the milk of the word. You haven't got to meat yet because you're still in Christianity 101. This is where he gets them to. He's wanting them to grapple with this because of the next things. He's going to talk to them about repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached. Now notice here it doesn't say might be preached, should be preached. What's he trying to say? Repentance, forgiveness of sins is going to be preached. They're going to preach this. They're going to proclaim in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. This is how it's going to happen. It's going to spread from this place outward. And it has done so. Now, as we watch this, if you go to Jerusalem today, while Jerusalem has a place for Christians, it has a place for Jews, it has a place for Muslims, it is no longer the center of Christianity that it is supposed to be. It is supposed to be that place as the light on the city that people can see on the hillside. See, there is this struggle of the very place this is born for it to continue because of what happens in that city with all the different faith groups, even sharing the Wailing Wall and the temples and the place Jesus was born, all the different faith groups sitting right there. There is that understanding that it comes from there, but it wasn't supposed to leave there. But as we know, as time passed, there was days that Jerusalem struggled to have any Christian presence at all. This process of this helps us to understand how it had to spread out so that the world would know what was going to happen. But we have to do forgiveness of sins. Repentance, verse 47, repentance, forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed. You know, we have a hard time with that word repentance. We struggle with it. Repentance and forgiveness. Well, some things we do that are sins we don't think we need repenting for. It's okay. It's not a big sin. Well, sin is an elusive thing. It's elusive because for some folks, one thing is defined as sin. For another person, one thing is defined for sin that's different. And so it's hard to trap what sinfulness is. So I want to try to help you with sinfulness at this point. Now, anybody that listens to this is going to be able to find holes in this conversation. You're going to be a place to argue. But I want to define sin for you this morning as anything that takes you away from God. The wall that separates you between God and you is sin. Now, if you think about that, in the Old Testament, as we again look at it, in the book of Genesis, at the creation story, Adam and Eve sinned, and we're talking about they ate the fruit or they, you know, all the different things that happened there. They didn't follow what the rules were for them to follow. They did all those different things. But here's how we knew they sinned, not because of the things they did, but because when Jesus came back into the garden the next day, what do? They're hiding because they know they're naked, and they've now been separated from God by their nakedness. There's the separation of what happened there that took them away from God that caused sin. So sin is what separates us from God. Now, that can be a long list, or it can be one thing. So you have to define it as separating. A separating presence from God that keeps us from walking with God and being with God in the fullness that we should be. Take that as a beginning point of a discussion of sinfulness. So it separates us. So we repent of it. And you'll notice the scripture that when it says this, and repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed. It's not repentance and we hope we get forgiven. It's not repentance and, well, if we repent at least 17 times, we'll get forgiven. Repentance is an act of coming to God because God has come to us through Jesus Christ so that the walls have been broken down so that relationship can be back in place. When relationship's in place, forgiveness occurs. It's not a question of whether God will forgive you. Now, you have to ask for it. That's repentance. But when you do that, you'll find yourself receiving a forgiveness if you accept it. Now, we are in a process of Sundays after Easter. You heard me say third Sunday after Easter. And we're moving through another 40-day time before Pentecost. So we had Lent, Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday morning, 40 days. Then we have Easter, and then Sundays after Easter, there's seven of them, until we get to Pentecost. And on Pentecost, we're going to have the Holy Spirit come in fullness. But listen to the little part that he added in after he talked about forgiveness, talked about the beginning in Jerusalem, the forgiveness, repentance begin there. Then he adds this. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. Now listen to the little sentence. He didn't call it the Holy Spirit here. It's not defined. But you'll watch it and notice that if you read Luke, and you'll notice that all you have left in Luke is two verses, or three verses, and then the next thing that Luke writes is Acts. And you're going to see the Acts of the Apostle beginning with the giving of the Holy Spirit. What is he trying to get to us? This is Pentecostal prophecy. He is prophesying to them, if they'll just stay there, they're going to receive a gift from on high that's clothed with power from God. Notice he's giving them an understanding that what they're going to get from God, in which is going to be the Holy Spirit, is going to be a powerful thing. It's a gift of power. The church acts like we have no power. The church acts like we can't overcome. The church acts like there's no hope. The church gets all beside how things have changed and the world's worse and things are bad, and we can name things that are bad and things are worse, and we can list things, and they're there. And there's no question about that. We have them. But there's been bad things before. We've had wars before. We've watched people kill each other in streets before. I mean, go back to Chicago for the gang violence back then and all the things that happened back in the 40s and 50s. You think that wasn't bad? I mean, we don't have to go far to find in history, go far to find when things are bad. Now, we don't want them to be bad. But we look at it and think we've become powerless. And when we believe we're powerless, guess what we are? We're powerless. But when we believe that we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and that there is a power given to us, clothed with power. Notice that. It's not just kind of around you. You're clothed in. Remember the armor of God conversation from other scriptures. You're clothed in power. And that power is the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Spirit lives in us. So So Jesus simply gives us three very easy and yet always hard understanding of Scriptures. We understand Messiah is going to suffer and die. Repentance and forgiveness is a prince going to be preached, and the forgiveness will happen with repentance, and the Pentecost is coming. Now, for us, those first two things need to be understood as things that have happened and continue. Rising from the dead has happened. Preaching of forgiveness of sins must continue, and the Holy Spirit is already here. Will you today receive that Holy Spirit in fullness and let it, you be clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit and not be afraid of it, but let it lead you in all things and all places? Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we offer these words and this scripture and all that we have done this morning, singing and praising you and lifting you up. We offer in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be with us. And may we go in the name of the one that gives everlasting life, Jesus our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. I invite you, after Miss Terry leads us in a song, to go in peace and do so in a way that honors and glorifies God's name. May that peace be upon you with all things. Amen and amen.
Please stand with us as we sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Grace of Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace.